on the app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Southern California could get hit tomorrow by its first tropical storm since 1939. CBS's Carter Evans says people from San Diego to Los Angeles to Las Vegas are preparing for very heavy rain.
Flooding is also a major concern after huge winter storms saturated California. Radar tracking Hurricane Hillary's path now shows the region potentially could be hit by more than 10 inches of rain. And to the east in Nevada, Las Vegas usually gets about 4 inches of rain a year. It could get that amount this weekend.
Hundreds of people are still missing in the town of Lahaina on the Hawaiian island of Maui this morning. Yesterday, officials raised the death toll from last week's wildfires to 114, that is. KGMB-TV's Daryl Huff says the devastation is prompting calls for improved land management.
Eddie Garcia documented the wind damage at Living Earth Systems Farm at Laniapoku. When the fire came, he says it stopped where he'd recently cleared invasive growth.
It did burn. But it couldn't go anywhere.
Since sugar collapsed on Maui, invasive grasses took over barely managed expanses, also prone to drought, wind, and of course fire, which will bring calls for more aggressive fire prevention tactics, like drought-resistant crops and fire breaks.
That should speak loudly to the need for management. They can't just be left without some sort of maintenance.
A state of emergency is in effect for all of the Canadian province of British Columbia, where hundreds of wildfires are burning. More from the BBC's Peter Bowes.
This is a country under siege from wildfires. There are more than 1,000 active fires burning, half of them out of control. Canada's worst ever wildfire season is showing no sign of letting up.
The CDC says hospitalizations for COVID have increased 60% in the last month. CBS's Errol Barnett spoke with Dr. Bernard Kamens at Mount Sinai Hospital about what we should do to protect ourselves.
The highest risk groups for severe illness from respiratory viruses like COVID include the elderly, young children, people who are immunocompromised, and pregnant women.
For people considering a COVID shot, do you recommend they wait?
Yes, I do think that the best thing to do is to wait until the new booster is available.
NASA says a crew of 3 Americans and a Canadian will journey around the moon and then come back to Earth in November of 2024. The mission will bring the U.S. that much closer to putting humans back on the moon. NASA says it hopes to land astronauts on the moon again in 2025. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. August is National Civility Month, but finding common ground in politics seems harder than ever these days. Mike Moan spoke with an expert who says some brave steps could help ease the tension.
David Wiltsey, a political scientist, says researchers have noticed a rise in negative partisanship. Influenced by what they see on social media, he says people's enthusiasm for their own party is outweighed by a desire to demonize those aligned with the other major political party.
So what's driving your partisanship is more of a sense of how different and how corrupt or evil your opposition is.
Wiltsey says politicians pick up on these cues, leading to extreme rhetoric on the campaign trail, especially for primary elections. Just like voters becoming more isolated from people with different viewpoints, he says members of Congress don't spend as much time around each other working on solutions as much as they used to. Wiltsey suggests politicians calling out members of their own party to tone down hateful or inaccurate rhetoric could help turn the tide.
It's not as if every single politician is behaving this way. It's just you've got enough who really are fueling this incivility and really trying to use that as their pathway to power.
He cites the late U.S. Senator John McCain and his 2008 presidential bid as an example of bravery that still might work today. The Republican confronted his own supporters for spreading inflammatory comments about his opponent, Barack Obama. Wiltsey says while McCain's bid for the White House wasn't successful, His effort in addressing some of the nasty behavior appeared to be effective. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
August 19th, 2023. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the WAUK Studios, here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And congrats to our beloved black shirts on a 29-12 opening night victory at Milwaukee North. Hector Carranza threw for 2 touchdowns. Isaiah Dunlap ran for 1 and did a great job rushing with at least 4 10-plus yard carries from scrimmage. And the defense was a real force. And you can catch the games here on WAK Radio, yours truly, along with Johnny Watermelon, give the broadcast. And next Friday's game is the home opener. It's alumni night. Tenney Road is blocked off for a tented tailgate for the South alumni. But if you can't join us, again, we broadcast this on the radio. The game starts earlier next week. It's against Ellsworth, 6 o'clock, so that this team traveling all the way from, I guess, near Eau Claire, I think, they can drive back a little bit earlier. So just mark your calendars accordingly. And congrats also to Waukesha North, who won their first season opener since 2016 with a 28-14 victory over West Allis. Hale, senior Aiden Zorbel, scored 3 touchdowns in the North Stars' triumph. Catholic Memorial fell to Franklin in its home opener at Ken Holub Stadium at Waukesha South last night. The Sabres avenged last year's season-opening loss to the Crusaders, which was Coach Bill Young's 500th victory. So hats off to the Blue and Gold, though, for picking a very formidable rival for the non-conference schedule. Even though the Sabres spell their name incorrectly, showing my Buffalo bias there, they've got a great football program. And then on Thursday, Waukesha West fell to Hartford in their opener. So, but enough football. On to this morning's guest. State Representative Scott Allen represents the 97th District, which includes our beloved city of Waukesha, the villages of Dousman, North Prairie, Summit, and Waukesha, and towns of Genesee, Maguanago, and Ottawa. He has served in the House since 2014, 4 terms. Will there be a 5th? Hopefully we may find out in today's show. And also a former alderman like myself, a fellow former alderman, who served on the council from 1998 to 2021. Scott, welcome. Glad you can make it today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here. I hope we continue to talk about football. It's one of my favorite subjects.
Fantastic. Yeah, you know, it's a good time to mention you got a master's in planning from the University of Southern California.
I did, yeah.
And how did you make it all the way out there, you know, coming from Wisconsin?
Well, it's easy for a Wisconsin boy to go to sunny Southern California.
Sure.
In fact, I applied to 4 graduate schools, UW-Milwaukee,
where I got my bachelor's,
UW-Austin at Texas, or Texas at Austin, and USC and UCLA. There was one graduate school that rejected me. That was UCLA.
Oh.
So I'm thrilled to have gone to the crosstown rival USC. And obviously, I know which team I'm rooting for every single season.
Sure.
So it's exciting to have them to join the Big Ten.
That's
right?
What I was going
to
ask. Yeah, you must be thrilled. So yeah. You'll get to see your beloved Trojans at Camp Randall every couple of years, depending on how the season dictates.
Right, right.
So it'll be fun.
It should be fun. I think it's going to be good for the Big Ten, too. It's going to increase its notoriety around the country.
I do, too. Yeah. People complain about it, but I think it's great for the conference.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're Wisconsin doesn't have a problem recruiting now, but it had a recruiting when I was young. It had problems recruiting good players.
Yeah, I remember.
And they're not going to have problems in the future, considering they're going up against such stellar teams. I mean, even Penn State, when Penn State joined the Big Ten, that made a big difference, too. So
it sure did.
Everybody wants to compete against top-notch teams. So
Absolutely.
It's great for the program.
It sure is. You know, and I think that may change the context of the playoff system with these bigger super conferences.
Yeah.
So instead of four teams, there might be eight. Like, it doesn't have to be the same setup as basketball, but I would think somewhere in an 8-16 team field, you've got your cream of the crop. And so a team that had an off day and had their second loss, which usually cancels you from any type of playoffs in college football.
Yeah, I'm old school. I don't like the idea of college playoffs, college championships. I mean,
sure.
It's like it just defeats the purpose. You're there. You're there to get a degree.
Sure.
You're not.
Sure.
I mean, many of them these days, it's like a semi-professional kind of thing. And
oh, it is. Yeah.
That's what it's become. I don't necessarily care for that, but it is what it is.
And I think if you had a playoffs, they should get rid of the conference championships. But that'll never happen because of the money around these conference championships now.
Right. Right. So, there's big money in college football.
Sure. Sure. So there sure is. But as I told you, in addition to broadcasting South football, we will start our inaugural broadcast September 9th with Carroll University. And there's, you know, and I got to tell you, there's Division III football. There's some great football. They play in what is arguably the toughest or second toughest conference in the
nation. Oh,
really? The national champions, North Central, two of the last three champions, they're from that conference, along with the fabled Augustana program and quite a few others. So, and there's a great winning culture going on there with having won two winning seasons in a row. Their first since the 90s.
Wow. So, excellent.
Yeah. So, but have to take a pause here to acknowledge Mary Jane Sanchez, who brought our coffee. So, and Mary Jane, a very close friend of Scott Allen's. And can we stay over there? She's also a vendor, a consultant of sorts.
Yeah. So, hi, Mary Jane. So, thanks for the coffee. Yes.
Well, you're welcome, gentlemen. So, but, always good to see you and on a wonderful Saturday morning in Waukesha.
Fantastic. So, hey, is Johnny on hold there?
I'm about to find out. Hold on.
All right. We'll keep talking, though. So Scott brought a few items to talk about this morning, some legislation he's working on. But let's see if is Johnny on hold? Top of the morning, Johnny Watermelon. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Johnny Watermelon with the Farmer's Market Crop Report.
It is. It's a little cool and breezy down here, so it's a nice day to walk around. You won't get all lathered up. You know what I mean, Don?
I hear you, Johnny. You know, if I didn't have the show, I'd be there as early as you are, because that's the best time to get in. But certainly, it's going till noon, and there's always great opportunities.
There's a lot of great stuff down here. A lot of produce is starting to come in, so it's a good time to be taking a walk. I got here just a touch late, and I sat up, and I didn't hear the whole thing, the beginning of your show, but I wanted to talk a little bit about last night's South football game. Did you guys visit on that at all?
We sure did, yeah. A great victory, and what you were there giving the color. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, I just wanted to make a mention to a couple of players over there. You know, Isaiah Dunlap, number 24, just had a great game, I thought. You know, he got a lot of time there, a lot of touches, and his ankles look like they're in really great shape, and I was just really impressed by it. If he put on any kind of weight or something like that, it sure looks good, and it really makes him kind of a powerhouse, man. So I was so impressed with his play. And the other guy here is number 12, Hector Cadenza.
Hector the Inspector Cadenza.
He called me Inspector.
I do. He knows
I think he inspects those defenses. But he had some long balls, Don. I think you maybe touched on this. He had some passes that were just, you know, I call them kind of little missile launchers.
Yeah.
Straight, not target man.
One to I was Tyler just so Thrill impressed Williams, with his too, arm, which so. Is great.
Yeah, so they had some really great plays, and it was just so fun to be at the game last night and watch those guys play against a soon-to-be regular rival here when they're in the conference next year with those guys. So
Sounds great.
My take on the deal. Sure had some fun.
I appreciate it. Johnny, do you have any questions for Assemblyman Scott Allen?
Well, I tell you, I don't know if it's a question or if it's more of a compliment. You're the nice fella that made those signs for our truck on the parade, right?
Well, it's hard to call it nice when it's for commerce, right? But we try to treat our customers nice, that's for sure.
I don't know, whatever you did, it must have been special because I was driving that truck that day and everybody recognized me and smiled and waved. It was just kind of sort of a weird kind of serendipity thing. It was because of your signs, man. Wow, thank you awesome. So much. They were beautiful.
The price points are great, too. So, I mean, I don't know why more people don't get those for their car. So.
Yeah, you got it, brother.
So, all right. Well, Johnny, we'll check in with you later.
That's my check-in.
Sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
See
you.
All right, Johnny Watermelon at the Farmer's Market. And thanks again for Mary Jane, Janie Sanchez, for bringing in the Morning Joe along with some blueberry muffins, the Java, shall we say. So
again, good morning. And just so everybody knows, people that know me when I was young, all the way up to about 18, know me as Janie. So if you ever hear that. Otherwise, I go by my professional name of Mary Jane.
Sounds great. So terrific. So, hey, in the 3 minutes we have before the first break, let's get to back to business with Scott Allen here, our state representative. And is it okay if I call you Assemblyman? Having come from New York State, that's what we called our state reps, and the House was called the Assembly.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's perfect. So I remember I had a girlfriend in college, and the state representative she worked for, his name was Gagliardi, and she'd answer the phone, Representative Gagliardi's office. How can I? And it just doesn't roll off the tongue, but Assemblyman Allen, you know. So, so the first one I think we wanted to talk about was a legislation I believe you authored or co-authored, and it was recently signed by the governor. The short name of it is fentanyl legislation.
Yeah, that is the short name, but it's interesting because the spot that played immediately before you went on air this morning was a radio commercial about the dangers of fentanyl. And I think so many people have been touched by the tragedies of fentanyl poisoning.
Especially here locally.
It's terrible. I mean, over 1,300 souls have been lost in the most recent year to fentanyl overdose deaths. And it's a scourge in our community, and it's time that we address it.
Sure. Sounds good. And that was passed and signed by the governor. So.
It was bipartisan legislation. Took a little bit of work. It came about because actually a former Waukesha North grad who I went to school with at UW-Milwaukee, his son was a freshman at UW-Milwaukee.
That's right.
And passed away from a fentanyl overdose. And he contacted me, him and his ex-wife contacted me to talk about their son and what happened. And, you know, the desperation in their voice and the look on their faces, it was just so heartbreaking that I immediately began to research to say, what can we do? And there's no panacea. That's true with any kind of societal problem. There's no panacea. Right. There's no one thing that we can do that's going to solve all problems. But we looked at, there's a disparity. There was a disparity in our statutes that had overdose deaths, reckless homicide deaths caused by an overdose, the dealing of a illegal drug as a Class C felony as opposed to a Class B felony. Every other reckless homicide
that's
was Class B.
Yeah.
And so we felt it was just not appropriate because the lives of the families that are lost or have lost to loved ones, they're just as impacted as any other reckless homicide. So,
when we come back to the break, there's a couple other pieces of legislation with Representative Scott Allen we're going to talk about when this week in Waukesha continues. And Dan Schreier and Mike Shulis, athletic directors for South and Carroll, are my guests next Saturday. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
The New York Times calls BritBox the best of British telly. Stream brilliant series you can only find on BritBox. Unlock acclaimed favourites like Vera and Stonehouse, plus the upcoming original drama Archie, the story of Cary Grant. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
Staples has what you need for travel. Passport photos, luggage, headphones, even personal travel-sized items. Now, get $10 off your purchase of $30 or more when you buy a travel service. In-store only offer ends 9/16. Exclusions apply. Staples, your first stop to nonstop travel.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 84. Today, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the south 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 68. Daytime highs approaching 90. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday, with daytime highs approaching 80. 83 Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and you're listening to Vanessa Carlton with 1,000 Miles, and I learned this week was her 40th birthday, and I didn't realize this. She was the artist behind this song, but when that song first came out, probably about 20 years ago now, I think it was just, I just loved the piano and that, and it was a beautiful song, and like, so happy 40th birthday, Vanessa Carlton. So we're back with State Rep, Assemblyman Scott Allen of the 97th District, representing most of Waukesha, and our good friend, our good mutual friend, Mary Jane Sanchez, who brought coffee from Mama D's, as well as muffins. And if we're also going to shout out local businesses, I have to shout out Mia's, who is one of our sponsors for Waukesha South football, and really glad to have Bo and company on board supporting the Black Shirts. And there's still some more great sponsorship opportunities, both for the Black Shirts and for Carol. So check us out. In fact, if you're at the farmer's market, look for Johnny Watermelon. He'll tell you more about it. So one little shout out before we continue with Representative Allen at the farmer's market is that the Waukesha Water Utility will have a tent at today's farmer's market to talk about ways to answer your questions about what you need to do to prepare for the Waukesha's, the transition from its current groundwater source to 100% Lake Michigan water. The transition is scheduled for mid-September 2023. We had Dan Dukniak on the show earlier in the summer to talk about it, and we're hoping to have him on again before, I think at least before the ribbon cutting, I think, which is September 7th. So, more on that. So, but back to Assemblyman Scott Allen. I wanted to we're going to talk. Oh, we wanted to finish this the fentanyl legislation too, because we kind of ran out of time. But I wanted to specify that Class C felony gives the judge an opportunity. He gives him a choice between jail time or essentially a slap in the wrist or community service, no jail time. And so, with your legislation, with that Class B, that means at least 4 or 5 years in jail.
At least some jail time. It's unspecified.
Okay.
So there's probably more work that we need to do, but sure. At least it puts it on par with every other Class B.
Sure.
Reckless homicide, which is really what we wanted to do.
Yes.
Level it raises the level of seriousness about the crime. Maybe it gets people to think twice about the consequences of dealing. If there are really no consequences, just a slap on the wrist, there's quite a bit of money to be made in dealing drugs. And so it may be worth the risk, and maybe this makes that risk a little bit steeper.
Sure. So, well, good. That's good to hear. Switching gears, there was another piece of legislation that recently you've been involved in, and that is about the, they're calling it the Absentee Ballot Integrity Bill.
Yeah.
So, tell us about that.
You know, anytime you do, you know, unfortunately, we're in an era where anytime you want to talk about improving the integrity of the election process, then immediately people want to have these sort of knee-jerk reactions, like right. you're an election denier or you're still relitigating 2020 and what have you. And I think, you know, it's in everybody's best interest. It's in the sure. best interest of democracy to make sure that our elections are safe and secure and that everybody's got confidence in our elections. And, you know, when you look at the recent trends in the commercial sector, when you've got identity theft is through the roof. The numbers for identity theft are through the roof. When you right. look at insurance fraud, the numbers for insurance fraud over the last half a dozen years are sure. through the roof, which tells you that, you know, people cheat. You know, that this is what people do. And so we can't stick our head in the sand and say, well, they may cheat in other areas of life, but they're not going to cheat when it comes to elections. I mean, that's just naive. Mm-hmm. And so I think anything that we can do, whether it's watermark on an absentee ballot or improving the process or what have you, anything that we would want to look at, we shouldn't sure. look at with a critical eye. We should certainly vet any possible proposal, but
sure.
certainly we should put ideas on the table, especially given technology sure. and the capabilities that we have today. Why not make the best, most secure election sure. system possible?
Okay. Now, is that being involved in, shall we say, the printing business? Mm-hmm. Did that kind of help shape your idea about the watermark? Or
a little bit. And the watermark is an old technology. And it may not be, in fact, at the end of the day, it may not be the best thing for us, but there's other security printing measures that we can use. Mm. And it may not even be in the best way to secure. Maybe it's about processes that we need to tighten down that secure the process.
Sure.
I don't claim to be an expert as it comes to that.
Sure.
What I want to do is and the reason we put out the bill is because I want to have ongoing conversations about how we can improve the process.
Sure.
And so sometimes you have to get ideas on the table in order to generate new ideas.
Sure.
And so we welcome all input.
Terrific. Yeah, because my homework on the bill was some opponents or skeptics of the, let's say that the watermark, for some reason, won't go through the, and I don't know, that doesn't necessarily make sense to me because it's just a printed mark, but for some reason, it won't be counted, or when it goes through the box or the machine.
The scanning technology.
Yes. That,
yeah.
What's your response to that?
Well, again, where there's a will, there's a way. What's interesting to me is the state of Kansas has recently passed that similar legislation.
Okay.
State of Tennessee, in their legislature, they passed that legislation through with broad bipartisan support.
Okay.
I mean, I think they had one or two votes in both houses of their legislature that were opposed to that legislation. So it seems to me that when there is a will, there is a way. If we want to improve ballot security, we can do that if we resolve to doing it.
Sure.
Again, I want the experts at the table. I want to have a public hearing on the bill. I want to get some testimony. I want to get the input. Instead, what our tendency is to just shut things down because
right.
you know, we're going to find the most recent excuse why it won't work, and let's put an end to it,
sure.
not have a public hearing, not get the testimony, not get the expert opinions.
Right.
That just is a shame to me.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, so my worldview, in the minute we have left, we're going to continue covering this conversation. But I want to say my worldview has been shaped by Waukesha, where I lost an election by 12 votes and won that. And again, kind of against a ghost candidate whose name was on the ballot after, you know, stepping down. And, you know, but it could have been very easy for an election judge to make those 12 votes disappear given the circumstances. And, it, you know, again, the integrity of the process was on it. And it seems like everywhere in Waukesha, you know, Gina Kozlik, our city clerk, now acting, they do a good job with protecting the integrity
well, they say
of
that,
the elections.
They say that it's not the votes that counts, but who counts the vote that matters.
Well
right?
said, well said. So more to talk about on that. It'd be interesting to see, you know, does that happen in other communities like it does in Waukesha? When This Week in Waukesha continues with Assemblyman Scott Allen. Don't go away.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Southern California is now preparing for the arrival tomorrow of a rare tropical storm. At the National Hurricane Center, Robbie Berg is watching the storm's progress closely.
Hillary's going to move generally parallel and just offshore the west coast potentially reaching the northern part of the peninsula on Sunday and then moving into Southern California later in the day on Sunday.
Some residents of the devastated Hawaiian town of Lahaina are pushing back on plans to quickly rebuild after devastating wildfires.
Give us time to heal, to find closure.
Yesterday, the death toll increased to 114, with hundreds still missing. People in Yellowknife, capital of Canada's Northwest Territories, are fleeing an approaching wildfire.
I'm glad to be out of here. You know, smoke all over yesterday in my apartment. And we have to get out of here.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With the news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Scammers seem to be working the south side of Waukesha.
The police department is warning about people conducting so-called door-to-door energy audits on the south side of the city, claiming to be from We Energies. Despite having visible IDs, police don't think they are legitimate representatives of the power company. People are advised to request an ID when approached by anyone claiming to be from We Energies or any company. Genuine employees or contractors should readily provide proof of identity. James Kelly, Civic Media News.
A Sussex couple and their dog were found dead in their home this week, with the cause of death undetermined. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the people were identified as Maggie Howard Weigel and Gary Weigel. The paper also reports the Waukesha County Medical Examiner's Office is awaiting test results from a lab. That's expected in about 2 months. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
AM Radio provides always on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Week in Waukesha continues with Assemblyman Scott Allen, and with football season starting up, I was looking for a good football song, and I remember this was a this hit by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, "Ain't No Mountain High Enough," was featured in the movie Remember the Titans, so, and gets you fired up on a Saturday morning. So, and Scott Allen, as told you, huge football fan. You got to be excited about your alma mater, the defending state champion, Kettle Moraine Lasers. Big opening win against Racine Horlick last night, 40-14. So
it's always good to see your alma mater win.
It sure is. You know, one of their star players, a kid worth watching, Drew Wagner, only 5'9", averages like 30 points a game in basketball and football. He's just a phenom. He is committed to the U.S. Naval Academy, which, you being an Army guy, you have to be somewhat pleased. I mean, I'm sure you'd rather see him at West Point.
Wow, that also means he's a great scholar as well. So
he really just a tough kid. You know, the majority of his points in basketball are in the paint. Like, he drives like a running back to the a receiver, I should say, in his case. And
That shows confidence. It shows courage. Yeah. I mean, it shows a drive, a willingness to win.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And so, and I just learned recently from Assistant Fire Chief, Waukesha Fire Chief, Joe Hoffman, who was on the show a few weeks back, that Drew Wagner's father is Tom Wagner, who was our acting chief of police before Daniel Thompson took the helm as permanent. And Tom is still, I believe, a lieutenant with Waukesha Police, and really nice guy. And so, just a great tribute, a great credit to their family. And I suppose the Waukesha Police Force, that there's some of their offspring are people like Drew Wagner.
Yeah, that's cool.
Of the defending champion Lasers. So we'll be coming to Waukesha South this year. I forget the date. It may be in September or October. So then when that grueling Classic 8, last year in the Classic 8, comes through. And again, a reminder, you can catch all the Blackshirt football games Friday nights here on WAUK Radio. So, but back to Scott Allen. As a final point on the absentee ballot legislation you talked about was so I mentioned in Waukesha, if every city was like Waukesha, I'm not sure I would be in favor of this, but that's, you know, you can't, that's a blanket statement to say every city's election process is run like the city of Waukesha's.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people like to point to the election audit that was done post-election in 2020 and say, you know, they said there was no evidence of widespread fraud, no evidence of widespread fraud. And that's true. They did state that. But they also stated that they were denied access to inspecting the ballots in Dane County and Milwaukee County.
Okay.
So to me, that would be inconclusive to say, you know, well, there's no widespread fraud, but we didn't look at this evidence. Okay, well, if you had looked at that evidence, maybe there would have been evidence of widespread fraud.
Sure.
I don't know, because that was denied. It just seems odd to me to say, you know, well, we think we're doing things fine. You don't need to take a look. I've got another piece of legislation that I'm shopping around the legislature right now that would have as a mandatory process in every general election an audit that would follow. It wouldn't be a statewide audit. It would be a randomized audit. But those things that are inspected, we know that there's greater integrity with. You know, Reagan used to say, trust but verify. It's like, sure, we'll trust you, but we're also going to verify. I think that it just makes sense when you look at nonprofit organizations, that they routinely will have their books audited.
Oh, yeah, I know
about
that.
Not to say that they're doing something wrong or fraudulent. It's just because they know how important it is to maintain credibility, to maintain that belief.
Yeah.
Otherwise, their donor base would dry up.
Sure.
So they routinely will have their books audited.
Sure.
I think having an audit as a routine course of action for our elections would improve the integrity long-term for everybody.
Sure. Yeah, you make an interesting point there, because as a grant writer, one of the things I've really taken the helm on is because I help with my nonprofit clients getting that Charity Navigator for, you know, a four-star rating, if you get that high, the Guide Star Platinum Seal. But to me, perhaps the most important is the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance. And it's recognition as an accredited nonprofit. And there's 20 rigid standards. You only need to pass 16 to get their accreditation. But if you pass all 20, there's a direct relationship between those organizations that do and their success in raising money and overall operational management. And it's just a great learning process. And so perhaps, and again, you're initiating this as a conversation to start.
Yeah.
And so maybe that could lead to a process where, again, some of these local bodies are finding that there's some great self-vetting they can do to make themselves better armed and to ensure the integrity of our elections.
Well, the important thing is that we continue to have the conversation. We can't just shut the conversation down because we don't want to hear it. You know, that's immature.
Sure.
Maturity is to say, let's have the conversation. Let's continue the dialogue. Let's continue to improve our processes because it's in the best interest of everyone involved.
Sure. Fair enough. So, hey, I guess we have Johnny at hold at the farmer's market.
You want to say hi to the listening audience? Yeah.
Johnny, what's going on?
No, I just wanted to point out something. I'm down at the farmer's market here. It's really just a great, great morning for this venue. I ran into something that's significant. Now, we have this every year down at the farmer's market. and I'm at the fire department tent, and they're teaching everybody how to do CPR down here. And it's just a really cool thing how they've engaged everybody, and the little kids just love it, Don. I got to tell you, they come over here and they've got a couple of these little mannequins that you do the CPR practice with, and these guys just do a great service for the community. Here's another couple people moving up to practice that, and you know what song they play, or you're supposed to play in your head?
Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Does anybody know?
Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
You got it, Don.
I was there last year. Joe Hoffman told me all about it.
Staying Alive, Staying Alive. Yeah. Joe doesn't happen to be here this morning, but he's got four of his other colleagues here. So I just wanted to point that out to our listening audience. If you're thinking of coming down to the farmer's market today, please stop by the Waukesha Fire Department tent and get yourself a little education on CPR.
And Johnny, also, too, please send people over to the water utility booth if they have any questions about the transition process to Lake Michigan Water happening in mid-September. They've got a booth over there, so please be sure to send them that way. And take a walk over there yourself,
too.
They do. Sounds great.
Yeah, I have done that. They're just a little couple of booths down from me. It's very important. I've sent people there in the past, and I'll keep doing that for you. So
that sounds great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Johnny.
And that's my report. So
see ya. All right, Johnny Watermelon at the farmer's market. So get yourselves down there. And be sure, if you like bacon, to get that maple bacon scone. I am enjoying a lovely muffin from Mama D's, thanks to Mary Jane. And so before we continue, Scott Allen, I want to mention on Thursday this week, the Waukesha Police and Fire Department were honored to help dedicate a new monument to remember fallen Detective George Schmidling. Schmidling lost his life in the line of duty in 1961, serving in the Waukesha Police Department. I'd mentioned that during the anniversary of his death in one of my June shows. He also served in the U.S. Navy. At the time of his death, there was not a proper burial or headstone, so his nephew, a retired police chief, helped raise the funds for the new monument dedicated to his uncle. And if you get a chance, it was a LinkedIn profile post about it. There's some wonderful photos of the police and fire coming together. There's even a fire truck with the ladder raised and the American flag, and pictures of his family members, too, at the grave. So wonderful, wonderful moment there. And Scott, you've done some work. I've seen some pictures with you with the police. It's fair to say you're a big fan and a big supporter of our local police throughout the state.
Yeah, well, and both organizations have excellent leaders at this point in time. I'm very impressed with the work that they do. I've known Chief Howard for many years. Back in my day on the city council, he was in the inspection division, and you know, just a great guy, and the new police chief is, I think, just super. Had a chance to, you know, join him and his wife, Angela, and I went out for dinner with him.
Oh,
and,
terrific.
You know, just a super guy.
And, he sure is.
I'm just pleased with the leadership that they bring to the table and the commitment that they have to our community. It's fantastic.
That's good. Yeah. And Chief Thompson wants to come on the show. I saw him at the mayor's breakfast that we were both at. On my way out, I just want to say hi real quick, and he's like, it was great. Chief's like, no, you got to get a hold of me. He goes, look for, and he gave me the name of his contact that sets up his appointment. So we'll be working on getting Chief Thompson in here, hopefully,
that would
before
be good.
The year ends.
That
so, yeah,
would be
great
good.
Guy. So, and I enjoyed, as an alderman, too, he'd have all the members in every year to do kind of a recap and to talk about things that they're interested in and maybe hear some of our concerns. So he's been wonderful so far for our city. So big shout out to Chief Thompson. So now the third piece of legislation. Oh, before we do, is it time for the Carol Minute, Anastasia?
I believe it is time for the Carol Minute.
Sounds great. So we're just going to jump over to that real quick. All right. So in the news for Carol, Alex Hobbs joins the Carol men's basketball staff. That was announced just a day ago. And a couple weeks back, we announced Carroll University and Augustine Prep are going to partner to offer associate nursing degree program on Milwaukee's south side. So good to see Carroll extending its arms beyond the Waukesha walls. So great news there. I went to check out the practice for the Pios yesterday, and it was really great. Got to see some kind of an inter-squad scrimmaging going on, and really excited about this season to happen. I can't wait for it to start, but good thing is it doesn't start till September 9th, so I got room to practice, you know, now that I'm in the big time covering college football. So we may have to get Scott Allen there to come make on halftime and or get you to come to. Did you get to many of the games?
I haven't. No.
Okay. You'll have, you know, it's funny, since Coach Budiszewski took over This will be his third full season. He was hired in 2020, so they didn't have a season. But with two winning seasons, there's not an empty seat at Schneider Stadium. And there's quite the tailgate presence there on Tenney where people can see the game. So it's really fun, and very excited to start that. I'll be heading over there sometime this morning to check out some more of the practice. Coach Buddha has been wonderful. And Mike Shulis, the athletic director, will be my guest next week, along with South's athletic director, Dan Schreier. So that should be an interesting conversation with a college and high school athletic directors here in the same university city. So I'm looking forward to that. And what's been your relationship as state representative with Carroll University?
Well, it's certainly an honor to be able to say to my colleagues in the legislature that I represent the oldest four-year institution in the state of Wisconsin. It's bragging rights. Many might have bigger universities or more prestigious universities, but we've got the oldest, most grandest university right here in Waukesha. So it's a privilege and an honor.
It sure is. So I really appreciate hearing you say that. And then, Anya, how much time before the break?
Got about a little over 2 minutes.
Fantastic. So let's go to the next piece of legislation that Scott wanted to talk about. And that was, I believe the short name for it is the right to read.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's that too had broad bipartisan support. It sort of overhauls the reading methodology employed in the state of Wisconsin. Unfortunately, over the last 20 years, our reading scores as a state have plummeted. And, you know, I'm not an expert in the reading technology field, but basically they're going, this methodology goes back to sort of the phonics-based, the structure of the language, helping people through that. Mississippi has incorporated, a number of states have incorporated and have improved their scores tremendously. Many of our school districts around the state have already been doing this sort of thing, so it's not new for a lot of the school districts, but unfortunately many of the school districts weren't, and so this will be new. It comes with state funding to help implement this program. What I'm excited about is it's going to establish already a state law that requires pre-screening of kindergartners, so we evaluate their kindergarten readiness.
Sure.
And unfortunately, it's by school district by school district. So meaning we don't have a universal evaluation tool.
Sure.
And we also don't share the information, the results. And so as a policymaker, we haven't had the data to identify where problem areas are so we can then target public policy to address those deficiencies. So we don't find out until third grade reading scores where the deficiencies are. By then, many times it's too late.
Sure.
So this new law will change that. It will create a universal screening tool, and it will provide a collection of data and sharing of data statewide. So we as policymakers will be empowered to help target problem areas.
Sounds great. And your wife, Angela, you mentioned her earlier. She was, I believe, in a leadership role with the Waukesha Education Foundation. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, she was on the board.
So, and was she an influence on this this piece of legislation or a contributing?
Well, she's an influence in my life every day. So,
that's great.
She's a great. Could spend a whole show talking about
when we come
Angela.
Back from this week in Waukesha. More with Scott Allen and hopefully Angela Allen. Don't go away.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really
palmetto
bugs?
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny this afternoon with highs around 84. Winds out of the south 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 68. High temperatures reach up to 90. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday, with daytime highs approaching 80. 83 Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, we're back next week in Waukesha, and you're listening to I Shall Be Released from the Last Waltz. That's Bob Dylan on the vocals and, of course, the band. And special guest Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones, and Ringo Starr was in on that, and a few others. I think Eric Clapton might have been there. But the week before, we'd learned of the tragic loss of Robbie Robertson of the band, and so the tributes go on. You know, one of my favorite musicians and artists. And also the broadcast community lost a real legend on Thursday evening, Rick Jenneret, who had brought an NHL broadcaster for more than 50 years with the same team. Full disclosure, my beloved Buffalo Sabres, but a real talent. If you ever get a chance, go to YouTube and just type in Rick Jenneret, Buffalo Sabres, and you'll hear some really great broadcasts and some great lines. As someone that covers a lot of different sports, it's very derivative. And so I get a lot, like in baseball, if someone strikes out looking, I use Ernie Harwell, stood there like the house on the side of the road. And, you know, Rick Jenneret, when he talks about goals that went in the high part of the net, he's like, up there where mama hides the cookies. And I'll use that in my daughter's softball broadcast if the pitches are high. And so, but again, a real, to have a life like that where you're doing what you love and doing it for 50 years with the same employer, you know, God bless. We don't hear that much very often. So, but we do have someone here, Scott Allen, who has served our community of Waukesha and the rest of the district faithfully. The Right Honorable Gentleman from the 97th District, as the British parliamentarians like to say. And can I ask, will there be a pursuit for a fifth term?
Well, technically, this is the fifth term.
Oh, I'm sorry, a sixth term then.
So
I stand corrected.
Sixth term. You know, I will neither confirm nor deny that I am a candidate for re-election in 2024. So
we'll see. So, anyway, I was asking you earlier because if you know of any competition, but then it led to a bigger conversation with in the last aldermanic elections, I believe there was five or six open seats, and only one of them was contested. And so I'm sure there'll be another wave of elections coming up. What can we do? What would your recommendation, as someone who served in the city and again, as a state assemblyman, what can we do to inspire people, and young and old or young at heart, to pursue these legislative opportunities and why they're important?
That's a great question. For me, it was a matter of community service. It's always been a matter of community service. When I was a senior in high school, I signed up to join the United States Army Reserve. And it was really my conviction of service. And I think there are a lot of people that have that inclination, that want to serve, that want to help their community, want to do their part. And it doesn't have to be for elected office. It can be in so many different capacities. But I think we want to continue to cultivate that in our younger generations, the obligation of service. And when there is that greater sense of obligation to serve, then you will get more people who will step forward to say, okay, this is an important role in the community.
Right.
You certainly don't do it for the money. There's not a lot of money in politics. A lot of times mm-hmm. people think there is, maybe at the upper echelons, but down at the street level, it's really for love of community is what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of love of community, James Santel is here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, getting ready for his show that's on next morning, Cannolis. And also, just quick, some community news. The last movie in the park is this Monday night. It's Encanto, Monday the 21st. The show starts at 7:15.
But I understand that the heroine from the movie will be there, and you can learn how to make tissue paper flowers. So, and then our neighborhood beer garden's coming up August 24th, 25th, and 26th at Rivers Crossing Park. So be sure to check that out. And then pool time, very important. Horeb Springs Aquatic Center closes on Tuesday, August 22nd. That's right around the corner. And then Buckner Community Pool, August 27th. And one of the legislations I supported was that Buckner Pool, that $13 million project. And I remember some of my constituents weren't really happy with that. But I've yet to get to Buckner Pool because there's always a line that goes to 164 of people going to that new pool center. Maybe I can try to sneak in there.
Well, Don, back in the day when I was on the city council, I was on the Capital Improvement Program Committee, and annually we faced a proposal that would put a dome over Buckner Park. So you thought that was a big ticket to what you supported.
Wow.
That was an even bigger ticket. And
you'd have to put a dome around the houses, too, because that's one of the charms of living there is, I mean...
Oh, could you imagine a dome in that location?
I know.
I mean, if I was a resident sitting across the
Classic.
Street, I'd be like, no.
Right, right. So not unless it encloses me and gives me some insulation or some air conditioning or whatever that is. So, but what I love about Buckner, though, is you'll have like co-ed kickball at 9:30 at night, and the people are out there on their front porch, you know, rooting on their favorite team. And so that's just a great neighborhood, a real good example of neighborhood park planning. So so make sure you get your swims in before they close in the next few days. So, and returning to Scott Allen, too, we're talking about your wonderful wife, Angela, and her influence on you. And I imagine, does she also help influence a lot of your legislative work?
You know, she is very intentional about keeping those separate,
church and state,
you know, and we've got a great relationship in part because it's just easier to sort of keep the peace. Mm-hmm. So she's a good audience. She's very supportive, but, you know, she's very busy full time running our printing business in Brookfield.
Sure.
And she does a fantastic job. She's our company president and she's there full time. So
sure. Sure. Yeah. What in the time we have left, what are some issues at the state level that you think Waukesha residents should be concerned about or should be paying attention to and communicating with you about that would have an impact on our city?
You know, I think the most important thing is community engagement. You know, just as I said, you have to have a sense of service in order to serve as an alderman or, you know, to serve as a representative in state government, what have you. But it's a dialogue, and I remember as a city council member, I would have members of the community come to my house Saturday morning, ding dong, ring my doorbell, say, I want to talk to you about this issue or that issue, and I would always thank them.
Right, same here.
I would say, hey, thanks for coming by, you know, because they would be apologetic. I'm sorry, I hope I'm not interrupting or whatever.
Some of mine wouldn't.
And I'd say, you know, look, this is what this is about. I mean, what representative government is about. Get engaged, you know, sign up for my e-update newsletter, find out what's going on, send us emails, stop in the Capitol, you know, schedule. I'm more than happy to meet with anybody, any constituent, contact my office. We'll schedule a phone meeting. We'll schedule a Zoom meeting. You can come to the Capitol. Sometimes if my schedule permits, we can meet over a cup of coffee right here in Waukesha.
Sounds great.
I think that's the most important thing is making sure that you stay engaged. And making sure that you're listening and communicating. Too often we want to jump to conclusions today based upon some news reports or some hearsay or social media posts.
Sure.
And you know, most of those times, it's far from the truth. And
it
so
sure is,
the best thing to do is to just engage with your representative, whether it's at the city council level, county supervisors, what have you.
Scott Allen, our state representative, I wish we had more time. You'll have to come back and see us soon. Thanks so much for joining us. Mike Shulis, AD at Carroll, and Dan Schreier, AD at Waukesha South, are my guests next week. Morning Cannolis with James Centell is next. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy this beautiful weekend. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And see ya!
Hi, Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.